There's no denying. It seems meat cannot be digested. And any time that we're tested, we forget in whom we're vested. You don't know what it is to be tested. From what cross have you arisen? Leave that short-term faith at home. Forgive as you're forgiven.
You're inside the church, but no church in you.
So you believe in God and still do what you want to do. Now you can't be religious and be spiritual too.
You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you. You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you.
So you believe in God and still do what you want to do. Can't be spiritual and religious too.
You're inside the church, but ain't no church,
ain't no church in you.
St. Luke
6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So you go to church every Sunday, Wednesday nights, Bible study. All the time. What does it matter if you don't keep him in your heart? Cast religion to the side. You gotta live, God. Get spiritual. Peace.
You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you.
So you believe in God and still do what you want to do. You cannot be spiritual and be religious too.
You're inside the church, but
ain't no church in you.
You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you.
You're inside the church, but it ain't no church in you. Can't be religious and be spiritual too.
You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you. You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you.
Ain't no church in you.
You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you.
You can't be religious and be spiritual too. You're inside the church, but ain't no church in you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Seven. And we're going to read verse 1 through verse 11, and I know that there may be a lot of verses, but that's not all of them. Then verse 17 through 19, amen. I mean, it's like I said, it's a lot to deal with, but I promise you, I'm going to try to be short, but I want to be effective, amen. And I want to also be clear so that the children can get it too, amen. Amen. When you have 2 Kings chapter 7, I want you to stand with me and we'll read the word of God in reference to the word of God. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 7. And I want you to say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 lepers, men at the entering in the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. We shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Now let's read verse 17 through 19. And the king appointed the lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trode upon him in the gate and he died as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord shall make windows of heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. Amen. Doesn't sound all that good, did it? Amen. But we thank God for his word. I struggled with, you know, titles, not always that important to me, but for sake of having titles for traditional purposes, I've struggled on what to call this topic or this thought I had for today. And one thought came to me and said, let's die or take a chance. That didn't work. I heard that one before. And then another, shall we hold our peace? Then another, and I said, well, we'll let the Spirit lead me on this. And I said, what kind of message is it? And he said, a message of hope. Amen. So we're calling this morning for a thought, a message of hope, a quick turnaround that's too good to be true. Amen. Amen. Anybody need a quick turnaround? And it seemed like it's just too good to be true. Amen. Amen. But I give you a message of hope on this morning. Amen. The book of 2 Kings is a part two of 1 Kings, which talks about the kings of Israel, kings of Judah. This book tells you about some of the things that they did, the events that happened in their lives. Amen. And we find that most of the time that in the book 2 Kings, the kingdom of Judah had a righteous king, but the kingdom of Israel had kings that were not really that righteous. They basically didn't, not that they didn't make mistakes, but they didn't seek the Lord and they didn't follow the plan of God. Amen. But what happened here, if you read chapter 6, you'll find out that they had been going, Syria had been coming against them. The king of Syria, they had come to try and destroy them time after time. And so the Bible says that Elijah, one day he and some men, they were out and they were cutting wood, and one of the men dropped his axe in the water. And the Bible says that the axe came up floating as he put a stick in the water, so that he said, because I borrowed this axe head and I need to give it back. And so he allowed it to come back to him. Amen. And then later on, the Bible says that every time the king of Syria wanted to make a move against the house of Israel, or the children of Israel, that Elisha would warn the king of Israel and say, hey, watch out over here because he's planning an attack there. And so they knew ahead of time what was going to go on because the word that came from God. Amen. We got to see here that there's a message in that, because God will give us a word. Amen. Amen. He'll tell us and let us see where the devil is wanting to attack. We talk about love, and guess what? He comes and attack and tests your love. You talk about faith, he tests your faith. Come on and say amen. And so he lets us know where the enemy is going to attack. And so one day the king of Syria said, what's going on? He said, I want to know which one of y'all been telling this man every move that I'm going to make. He said, the only time I talk about it is in my chamber. And he said, well, one of the people said, hey, none of us are telling. It's the fact that that Israel has a prophet over there named Elisha, and he's telling what you're saying in your chamber because it's been revealed to him because he's a prophet. So the king of Syria sent men to go get Elisha. And when he sent them to go get him, the servant saw all the chariots and the men that had come to arrest them. And he began to get scared. That was Elijah's, you know, his armor bearer, his friend that poured water on his hands, that helped him and stayed with him. And so he was afraid. And he told Elijah, he said, you don't know all the men that's outside down this mountain that's come to get us. And Elijah said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry. He said, Lord, open up his eyes so he can see. He said, those that are for us are more than those that are against us. Amen. In the New Testament, Paul said in Romans 8, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the man's eyes were open, and they saw all of the chariots of fire that were in the mountain with them to let them know that the presence of God is with us. No matter who comes to get us, no matter who comes to do us harm, God's presence is with us. Come on and say amen. And so after that happened, the Bible said that Elijah said, Lord, cause blindness to come upon them. And blindness came upon all the army of Syria. He took them and they went into the city. Amen. Took them to Samaria. And then the king of Israel said, what shall we do to these men? Shall we smite them all? And then he said, no, let's not do that. He said, let's feed them and send them away. And after that, Syria decides, well, they were so kind to send our army back. Amen. Then we won't attack them anymore. But then there rose up Ben-Hadad, another king that came up and said, we're going to attack Israel and take what they got. Amen. And at that time, there was a great famine that was taking place. Amen. A great famine. I'm telling you the story so the kids are getting it. Amen. A great famine that was taking place. And all of a sudden, the Syrians came up against Israel. And they surrounded the city. Amen. They surrounded the city so that nobody could go in and nobody could come out. Amen. And so that meant not even food could go in or water could go in and out. Amen. And so in the process of that happening, the Bible says in chapter 6, you'll find where the people begin to starve, and starvation had set in so much that they sold the head of a donkey, amen, for people to eat. Not just that, but they sold droppings that came from birds so that people could get the grain or the wheat, because the bird would go fly away and find a field, eat the grain, and come back and drop the droppings on the ground, and they would scoop them up so that they can get the grain. So bird droppings, they were selling them because they were so hungry. Amen. Let me tell you something worse than that they did. The Bible said the king was walking upon the wall, and the lady called up to him and said, yesterday, me and this lady decided that we were so hungry that we would boil and eat my child on yesterday. And she said, tomorrow we'll boil and eat mine on tomorrow. And here it is today, and she's hid her child, and we have nothing to eat. And the king rent his clothes. It had gotten so bad. Come on and say amen. Amen. Have anybody ever been in a bad situation where it seemed like you've done some desperate things? You resorted into desperate measures. You did stuff that you wouldn't normally do. Come on and say amen. It got real bad. Come on and say hallelujah. And you just don't know what to do. You petitioned somebody in politics. You petitioned somebody who had some authority to help you, but they couldn't help you. Come on and say amen. Now it is a time when you get to the point where people can't help you. It's time for you to turn to God. Oh, come on and give God some praise. It's time for us to turn to God, because in situations that are arising in this day, it's so many things that's happening. Can't nobody help us but God. Amen. And sometimes God allows it to get to that point so that you'll be in a place, what we call set up, or a place where it can't nothing happen but a miracle. Oh, yeah, I'm in the best place I can be now because can't nobody help me but God. And when God helps, you know the help is all good. Amen. I'm in a place of a miracle. I'm in line for something spectacular to happen, something unbelievable to happen. I'm in a ridiculous situation, so therefore my faith calls for a ridiculous miracle. Anybody here have some ridiculous faith? I do some ridiculous believing. I believe some ridiculous things could happen to me. And the only people that can get those ridiculous blessings are the people who say, you know, that don't make sense. This is ridiculous for me to be where I am. But praise God that I'm here so that God can bring me out. Oh yeah, the doctors can't help you, but God can heal your body. Oh, come on and say amen. The bank won't loan you money, but God will give you favor. Lord, have mercy in here. It's a message of hope. Then we find that the Bible says in verse 1, in chapter 7, and I'm here now, he says that Elijah, that he said, hear the word of the Lord. How many know that in times of crisis, in a crucial moment, we need to be able to hear a word from God. Amen. Because a word from God always gives us hope. A word from God always makes us feel better. Even though we may not see what God is going to do, and we may not even have a notion of what he's going to do, but the fact that he'll do something is enough. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't know about you, but I know that if God is involved, that everything will be all right. Come hell or high water, come what may, if God is in the business is going to be great. Amen, amen here. And so he said that to hear the word of the Lord, he said, thus said the Lord on tomorrow. About this time, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel. Now, he's telling them that you're going to have fine flour, not anything, not just any old flour, but fine flour, good flour. And they didn't have no flour at all in the city. They was taking, remember, they was whatever the bird dropped, they was getting it. Amen? And they had no flour. He said, oh, by this time tomorrow. Now, that sounds crazy. Now, how many know that if somebody told you that God is going to do something and you're looking at your situation, you're saying, you know what, that can't be right. Let's go on. Let me not get ahead of myself. He said, and then he says, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And the Lord, he said, at the gate of Samaria, and the Lord in whose hand the king leaned. In other words, the councilman, the person and who advised the king. He said that unless the Lord opened up the windows of heaven, this ain't going to happen. He spoke sarcastically about what the man of God had said. People, let me tell you, when a man of God, a true man of God, speaks a word, it's not his words. You can disagree all you want. If he speaks a word from God, it's not his words, it's God's word. God does not have to uphold any man's word, but God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So if God ever says something to you, you better take it to the bank. If God ever speaks a word, you better know that it will happen. It will come to pass. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, he said that the Lord of the Lord and who the king, he leaned on his hand for advice. He said, this thing won't happen. And then Elijah told him, he said, behold, you'll see it with your eyes, but you won't taste it. Oh, come on and say amen. Isn't it bad when we can see other people getting blessed and we can't taste the blessing ourselves? You need to go back and think about whether or not you were sarcastic about the word that God had spoken on that day. Whether you say, I don't agree with that. I don't like that word. That word wasn't for me. Oh, come on and say amen. Every word that God speaks should be for you. The Bible tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth. Not some words, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so I need to get the word from God. I need to hear what God is trying to say and what he is saying. The Bible tells us that faith come by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I hear it, I understand it. And since I understand it, I can believe that God will give it to me. Oh yeah, before we understood what God had done for us, if somebody got sick, we say, oh, that's it, they gone now. But now that we know what God can do for us, we believe that according to his word, he said, with his stripes you're healed. Come on and say amen. Before, we didn't understand that God wanted us to prosper. We say, you know what? We just be broke, poor, and begging all our days. We'll just die poor. But the Bible tells us that it pleases God to give us the kingdom. Come on and say amen. And God wants you to have whatever it is that you need in the kingdom. Oh, yeah. The Bible even tells us, Jesus, the disciples said it. We don't even know how to pray. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he says, let the kingdom come and the will be done. Amen. We didn't even know the will of God. But now that we know, we say, give us this day our daily bread. Oh, yeah, we need to get something from God. And God said, I got my hand stretched, but you need to know that you got to believe and have faith to get it. Yeah, amen. Let's look at this dilemma that we're in here. This dilemma. They all, death was everywhere. They had people that were starving to death. Amen. And so verse 3 says, and there were 4 lepers, men at the entering of the gate. Amen. And he said one said to the other, why sit we here until we die? They were sitting there, and you see these leprous men, look at their dilemma. They were at the gate of the city, right? Men who had leprosy, they were excommunicated from the general population. They were set apart from the general population. They had to stand 50 feet. Amen? And say, I'm unclean. Don't come near me, because if you get this leprosy, you can lose a hand, a foot. You can lose an ear, a nose, or something. You can lose something if you get close to me. Come on and say amen.
These men, they were leprous men. And the thing about them, they had no way of making money or getting food. The only food that they could eat was the garbage that somebody threw away. Their situation was worse than the people in the city. Why? Because nobody was throwing anything away. Oh, come on and say amen. If they ate the apple, they ate the seeds too. Come on and say amen. They were not allowing anything to be thrown away. If they had a piece of bread, if it was a crumb, they ate the crumbs. Wasn't no crumbs falling off the table, and they were throwing it away. Nobody was throwing anything away. So here it was. These men had nothing to eat, and so they were starving worse than the people on the inside. And then one of them said, why do we sit here until we die? Their dilemma was that they were going to die if they got up and went in the city. He said, we can't go there because it ain't nothing in the city. Oh, come on and say amen. The city represents people who are congregated, like the church. Sometimes people don't want to go to church because they say ain't nothing in church. Yeah, you know what? You heard people say, I don't know, I don't need to go there because it ain't nothing gonna happen. They ain't gonna do nothing. They know, you know, they full of this and they hypocrite. Because the other day I saw this one do this and I heard this one say that. Come on and say amen. So we starving sometime in the city. Sometime there ain't no word in the church. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, he says that if we go in the city, we're gonna die there. He says, now if we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, we shall die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die. So our choices are, we're going to die if we go there. If we sit here, we're going to die. They were in a dilemma. They were in a situation where they said, you know what? We might as well get up and go to the Syrians, because the chances are they might let us have something to eat. They might be throwing away some garbage that we might be able to get a taste of. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, he said, they may let us save us alive, and he said, then we shall live. But if they kill us, all they can do to us is kill us, we'll die. We're gonna die anyway. So we need to take a chance. Oh, come on and say amen. You see, some of us, we need to learn from these leprous men. We need to take a chance, because at some point, you need to step out on faith. You need to step out into the unknown. You need to say, if I stay here, I'm going to die. If I don't do anything at all, I'm going to die. I have no movement, no motion, no life in what I'm doing. So let me take a step that I hadn't taken before. Oh, come on and say amen. But the fact that there were four men lets us know that God was being ready. He was ready to be creative, because the number four is the number of creation. So that represents the creativity of God. And so look at this. These four men were in a place and they said, look, we need God to really be creative. Amen. How many in here need God to be creative? I need God to create an opportunity for me. I need God to create something in my life. I need God to create in me a clean heart. Create. Oh, come on and say amen. The right spirit with amen. I need God to be creative in my life. Amen. Because this old stuff won't do. It got people suffering and they can't help me. So I need God to create something. Amen. The people in the city can't help me. The people that I'm hanging with, Lord, y'all with me today. They can't help me. And so we might as well go see if we can find some help. But we need God to be what? Creative. Now look at this. He says in verse 5, and they rose up in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. They rose up in the twilight. In the twilight. That means that they rose early in the morning for the break of day. Oh, my God, today. Amen. That's why some of us, we are late on everything. Oh, come on. But when you're the first one up, they say the early bird gets the what? All right. If they say that, that's man's wisdom. They say the early bird gets the worm. You're surely to get rewarded if you can get there first. Come on and say amen. But the Bible tells us, he says, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. If we just see what happened in their life in the twilight, they got up and they made a move, come on, while it was yet dark. while they were still hungry, while things didn't look good to them, they still made a move. Come on and say amen. Some of us, we won't make a move to Christ because we say, well, I'll go to church when I get things together. Oh, you'll never get it together. If you could, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Oh, praise his name. And some of us will say, well, as soon as this happened, as soon as I get my income tax, I'll do this. Oh, yeah, I'll start tithing when I get my tax because I get. Oh, and you need to do it while you're in the darkness. You need to do it while there's a famine going on. While you don't have plenty, while you don't have enough money, you still need to do it right now. I want to challenge somebody right now. Will you do it right now? While nothing's going your way, will you still do it? Oh, come on. Some of you need to praise him right now. While I look like I'm dead in the water, I'm still going to lift my hands and praise him right now. While it looks like I'm going to die, while it looks like it ain't nothing happening in my life, it looks like it's over now. Oh, come on and say, I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm still wanting to talk a little bit. While it's yet dark, they got up and they came to the camp. And look, they kept walking until they got to the uttermost, to the inner part of the camp. And they said, behold, there's no man there. Nobody there. They took off and left. And if you read it, he said the Lord had caused them to hear a great sound of chariots as if they had a great army that was coming against them. And they said, ooh, they got fearful and they ran away. Leaving clothes, food, and everything else that you could ever want, leaving it behind. Took off running. Oh, come on and say amen. You see the creativity of the Lord? Amen. The Bible tells us that we'll live in houses that we didn't build. Lord help us, y'all. He said that we'll have things that we didn't have to labor for because of his favor. Because of his grace. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, if the Bible said it, we can believe it. Amen. It says in verse 7, they thought that the Egyptians was coming. And so, you know, in that day, the Egyptians had they had a cavalry that everybody feared. If you heard them coming, you know it was over. Amen. Verse 7 said, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. So they had just left. You see, what you don't realize is that the enemy got some stuff. And he's going to stay there until you make a move. You see, they were still there at twilight. But in the twilight, when they was talking late one night, see, sometime we need to have a late night talk with the Lord. Late one night while they made a decision, and sometime you need to make a decision while it's yet night. Oh, yeah, while they were in the twilight and they were sitting there, they said, we might as well go toward the Syrians. Come on and say amen. Because we're in between the two. We're in between the city and the Syrians. We can't get nothing in the city, so let's go see what we can get over there. Amen. Sometime you'll find yourself in between a decision. You'll find yourself in between a situation. But guess what? The enemy is holding on to whatever they have because you hadn't made a move yet. And as soon as you take that step, oh, come on and say amen. As soon as I take a step toward the will of God, as soon as I take a step toward what God has for me, the enemy won't let it up. The enemy won't let go of it. The enemy won't move, amen, until I take a step. And so what I need to do is the Bible said that I need to walk by faith, not by what I see. I don't see no food. Oh, come on. I don't see nobody doing nothing for me. Oh, yeah, just quit complaining about who's not giving you any food. They could give me a little bit. They got plenty. They ought to be able to give me something. Quit complaining about that, and you take the necessary steps toward God so that the will of God will be done in your life. Oh, it's time out for belly aching and complaining, throwing pity parties, talking about who ain't doing it and why they won't do it and they could do it. Why don't you do it for yourself? Oh, I'm tired of people saying it over and over and over about how, oh, woe is me, how bad I got it. Don't you know that these men had it real bad? They had already accepted that we're gonna die anyway, so we might as well die full. Let's maybe we'll get over there and get something to eat. Come on and say amen. But when they took a step, the enemy rose up and took off running. Come on and say amen. And the Bible say, if you submit to God, resist the devil, then he will flee from you. The enemy came and they fled. Oh, yeah, the Bible said the enemy come in one way, but they'll flee seven ways. They went every which way. Oh, come on and say amen. And the Bible says, and these lepers, they went to the uttermost part of the camp, and when they went in one tent, they ate and they drank. Come on and say amen. Then they carried silver and gold and they hid it. Then they went in another tent. They ate and they drank. They carried silver and gold and they hid it. Oh, come on and say amen. They begin to be blessed. They had all that they needed. Talking about a quick turnaround. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a quick turnaround. I need God to do something for me in the morning. I need God to do something for me while it's yet nighttime.